Welcome to Boss of My Money podcast, your number one choice for bite-sized lessons on how to take care of your coins and achieve financial success. I am your host, Esther Bangura, the founder and budgeting expert at Boss of My Money. So whether it's improving your money habits, developing a wealthy mindset, becoming debt-free, saving money, or learning how to invest, girl, say no more because you are in the right place. If you want to get started with paying yourself first, why not get your hands on one of my amazing freebies, the roadmap to paying yourself first and my free budget sheet at bossofmymoney.co.uk. So now it's time to put the kettle on, make yourself a cup of tea, and join me in today's episode. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Hiya, welcome to Boss of My Money. This is episode number 15. In today's episode, I will be sharing some pros and cons of renting versus buying a house and how to calculate if buying a house is affordable for you. So this has become a very popular topic right now. As I record this episode, we've just had the UK annual budget review announced by the government. So one of the changes that have been made is the minimum amount required for a house deposit. So this has dropped from 10% to 5%. So a lot of people are asking if buying a house right now is a good thing for them or if they should consider renting. So buying a home is one of the biggest financial commitments that you will make. So it's really important that you weigh the pros and cons by working out the numbers and also understanding the process and speaking with mortgage experts early on. So there's a few questions that I'm going to be answering during this podcast to help you make that decision. So the first question I'll answer is renting better than buying a house? And you may be asking this because you have finished university, you're thinking about either going back home, you know, working, saving some money and then buying, or you could be renting now and you want to save a little more whilst you're renting and then go and buy a house. You could be living at home and you're thinking, should I move out to rent and then buy, or should I just continue to stay home and save some money for my deposit and then go and buy? Or yeah, you could be renting and thinking, gosh, should I just keep renting or should I actually just start planning towards buying a house? So different people are going to be, at a different place. So it's important to really understand where you are at now, because where you're at will determine what your next step is. And you have something to kind of compare if continuing as you are now is better than moving to the next step, which is buying a house. So if we look at some of the pros and cons to buying, and I'll start off with the pros of buying. And there's 4 points that I'd like to make in relation to the pros of buying. So point number one is that you will eventually own your own home and never have to pay rent to anyone, which is what the goal is for financial independence, is that before you retire, you become mortgage free and you own your place of dwelling outright. Point number two is that you can benefit from the equity in your home if your home value goes up. So when you sell, you will get back more money than you've paid for the house. So that's one of the pros to buying, is that it's actually an investment, right? The house can eventually become an asset because the value of the house should be going up every year. Point number three is that you can do what you want with the house when it comes to renovating and decorating. Whereas when you're renting, landlords tend to be really fussy about that. You have to seek permission. You can't just knock down walls or, you know, build an extension. So when you own your own home, you have the luxury of turning it into your dream house. And finally, point number four is that you can leave it as a legacy for your family, so they will always have a home to live. So let's move on to the cons of buying. What are some of the disadvantages to buying a house, or some of the things that you need to plan for or look out for? So interest rates can go up or down when you have a mortgage. So you need to be prepared to either pay more or pay little in your mortgage repayment. payments over the duration of your mortgage period. This is why having a 3 to 6 months emergency fund before you buy your house is essential, because it means that you are prepared for interest rates going up. And you want to make sure that you don't buy too big of a house. And when I say too big of a house, I mean an expensive house, right? You don't want to become house poor. You don't want all of your money to be going into mortgage repayments where you're left with no money to pay all of your bills, or no money to save, no money to invest or have fun with. So the general rule of thumb is that your mortgage should be 20 to 30% of your income. So say, for example, you earn £1,000 a month, then your mortgage payments shouldn't really be more than £300 a month. If 50% of your income is going towards your mortgage payments, then it means that you only have 50% for bills, saving, investing, and having fun with. And that's where a lot of people get stuck and end up, you know, accumulating debt, because actually their income isn't enough and they're house poor because they're living in a very expensive house and they don't have extra money to do the other things that they want to do. So if you're buying a flat, you need to remember that service charges are included. The cost of maintaining your house as a homeowner can become costly, right? Sometimes you need to have a new boiler. You might need to replace a roof because there's a leak. There's leaks that can happen in the bathroom or in your sink. You might want to, you know, decorate or modify the house. All of that cost is going to be passed on to you. So whereas when you're renting, costs to like replacing boilers and things like that, that cost is passed on to the landlord. That's something to remember. And it's one of the disadvantages to buying your own home, because you are responsible for everything. But again, having your emergency fund in place will solve all of that problem. So it doesn't have to be an issue if you've got your emergency fund. Okay, and finally, when you own a home, there's not much flexibility in moving frequently, right? As you get with renting. Most people will just buy a house. Like I know somebody who, you know, brought a house like miles away from where they work. It's 2 hours in, 2 hours out. And although their mortgage is cheap and affordable, but they're literally spending 4 hours a day traveling, right? And so now that they're trying to sell and move, it's not that easy. So selling your house is not always easy when you are a homeowner. It's a lengthy process, especially where there's chains involved. So you want to make sure that when you buy, that you're buying in a location that you want to live in for a while, maybe 5 years. And if you're thinking about moving, then you need to start the process early, especially where, for example, you're living in a two-bed and you're now growing your family and you're outgrowing the space. You need to give enough time to sell that house and buy a new one. And there's different reasons that people, you know, want to sell, for location, or they want to, like I said, just kind of they're growing their family. They need a bigger place to live. So as long as you prepare for it and just kind of know that, you know, when it comes to being a homeowner, things don't always go as planned, right? So you need to plan ahead and you need to be flexible, because challenges will happen and there can be lots of delays. So this is just to prepare you and not to get frustrated by the process, because it's very common. Now that I'm buying my flat, I realize the challenges that come with one, trying to buy your house, and also speaking to friends and family that own their own home, the challenges that may come once I become a homeowner. So now what I'm doing is preparing for that. The final area that I want to look at is how to compare renting versus buying a house and if you can actually afford it. So now that you know the pros and cons, let's look at some of the numbers, because buying a house, it really is about the numbers, right? When you go for a mortgage, lenders are looking at how much you earn. They're looking at affordability. They're looking at your credit score. It's all about the numbers, right? So I'm going to just go through some of the numbers that you need to consider and that you can calculate for yourself whether buying a house is affordable or not. So the first thing is to decide what type of home you want to buy. So do you want to buy a new build or an older house? Does it need fixing up? So kind of consider the costs involved in the type of house that you're buying, right? Where do you want to live? How much will this cost? Like I said, the lenders look at if you can afford the house, and the way they calculate that is they times your salary, your annual salary by five, right? If you earn 60,000 a year, then you can only afford to buy a house that's 300,000 or less. So if you wanted to buy a house that's 350,000 or 400,000, you would need to increase your salary because lenders will only approve a mortgage that is five times your annual salary. At the moment, you also want to calculate how much deposit you need. You can pay as much as you want in a deposit, right? So before, the minimum requirement was 10%. Now it's 5%. We don't know how long it's going to be for. The time of recording this podcast, we're going through a pandemic. So by reducing the deposit amount, it's just like another way of helping the economy, encouraging more people to buy. But there is a con to that, right? Which I will talk about. Actually, let me just mention it now. The con to that is that when they reduce the amount of deposit you need for a mortgage, it means that interest rates are going to go up. So I strongly encourage anybody that wants to buy a house right now to try and put in more than the 5%. Because if you put in more than the 5%, then your interest rate will reduce, right? And then it means that you're not paying as much over time on the mortgage. Point number three is to consider additional costs that come with buy-in. So things like service charges, stamp duty. At the moment, stamp duty has been removed if you're buying a house under a certain value. So I would say just kind of check the value of the house that you want to buy and whether or not you're exempted from stamp duty. But you want to look at stamp duty costs, removal costs, solicitor fees, mortgage broker and mortgage advisor fees. And point number four is use a mortgage calculator or speak to a mortgage broker to get some ideas on how much the mortgage will cost you and any specific details that are unique to you. So although I speak to friends and family, I make it a priority to speak with a mortgage broker. And I actually started engaging with a mortgage broker way before I put in the application for my right to buy because I wanted to be prepared and I wanted to know, one, that I was ready to actually buy a house, and two, what it is that I needed to provide to the mortgage lender in order to get an approval. And it helped me to overcome a lot of myths. So things that, like my friends and family said, just were not true in my situation. So it's really important that as you speak to people, speak to an expert because your situation is going to be different from your friends and family. And I find that although some people are okay with sharing, they don't go into the detail. So it's important that when you have a mortgage advisor, that you're able to be honest about your situation, you know, share what your vision is, you know, when you want to be mortgage free, what the vision is for the house. Is it a house that you want to live in forever? Is it a house that after 5 years you want to sell and move on? It's important that you share those goals with your mortgage broker because then they can give you the best advice and the best plan for you. And finally, consider your other life goals, right? Buying a house is great. I think most people would love to own their own home eventually. But when you're buying a house, remember that once you've bought the house, you still want to get on with day-to-day life. You still have goals that you want to save for. You might want to buy a car. You might want to go on holiday. You might want to renovate. You might want to do something nice for yourself, start a business. You might want to save for other goals. You might want to start a family and start investing. So you want to have room to put money towards these other goals when you're buying a house and once you've got the mortgage. Okay, so in conclusion, we can say, you know, that buying and eventually owning your own home is a good thing, right? However, you need to weigh the costs and the benefits to decide if this is right for you. However, if you plan towards it and if you speak with experts and if you manage your finances like a boss, you can actually set yourself up to be able to buy your house, to buy your dream home, and to become mortgage free before retirement and live comfortably. So it's definitely a goal that can happen for you. Just sit down, work out the numbers, decide what it is that you want, start speaking to experts, create a plan, work towards it. Be ready for the challenges because they will come. It's not a straightforward process. And just be flexible to kind of make changes along the way. So this episode's action is, if you're considering buying a home, use the pointers to calculate whether or not this is right for you. And if the numbers don't add up, then create a plan, set yourself a date, and work towards it happening. Thank you again for listening to Boss of My Money podcast with Esther. I hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode. And if you'd like me to answer any of your questions, you can include your name or it can be anonymous. Then do send your questions to Esther at bossofmymoney.com. www.bitesizelessons.co.uk. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I would really appreciate it if you took time to also rate and review this podcast. Stop by at bossofmymoney.co.uk for more details on how you can get started on your financial success journey. See you again on the next episode.